to start, right? It's been almost 4 years, and I was just struggling with the addictions, with the drinking, the alcohol, the gambling, spending everything that I would bring in for the family. I didn't know if there was a God, but I knew there had to be something. It was a one night where I was doing the same thing out with the drinking and everything, when I just screamed out and I said, if you're real, call me and I'll follow you forever. And like instantly, maybe in like 4 seconds, my phone rang. It was just a voice, and it just said, come home. And it hung up on me. My son was very little at the time. He had never, ever had called me on the phone. That was his first phone call, to call his dad. And God used him. So I got home, took a shower, straight to bed, didn't say anything to my family. But someone that day invited the whole family to a musical. And my family went to that musical while I was sleeping. And my kids were saying, we want to go back, we want to go back. So much love and joy there in them. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Where do you want to go back? They're like, church. So I'm like, I want to go. I want to go. My whole family got saved in that musical. We gave our life to the Lord and we kept coming. And every time we came, we expected God to be here, and he was. We were invited to a quinceañera. We went out there, and I did have a couple drinks. I felt ashamed. I felt I failed God. But the next day was Sunday. That day, the Holy Spirit told me to come to church. There was an altar call, and I came up, and I told God, I can't do this alone. Ever since that day, I was freed from alcoholism, gambling, smoking, every addiction gone. Now that God is in our lives, like, every single minute, it's just a transformation. It's just a transformation.
Amen. All things new. Isn't that exciting to hear what God is doing? Amen. And I believe he's going to do it again. That's my prayer for this morning. He'll do it again. Well, good morning to each and every one of you, and we welcome you this morning to the second Sunday of our brand new series on All Things New. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me once again to Revelation chapter 21, last book of the Bible, Revelation 21. It says, then I saw, and I want you once again to take note of the number of times the word new is used here, because we're talking about all things new. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, nor crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Verse 5, if you read it from the King James Version, says this, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now, last week we said that one of the key themes of the book of Revelation was the word new. And we said the word new means something that is entirely new, fresh, that which is superior to the old. The book of Revelation uses the term new name. Matter of fact, if you go back into the Old Testament, you'll discover that Abram received a new name. He was called Abraham. Sarai received a new name. Her new name was Sarah. Jacob received a new name. His new name was Israel. And in the New Testament, we read about a man by the name of Saul that has such a transformation. He is made so new, he has given a new name, and we know him in the New Testament as Paul. So the Bible says there's going to be a new name, a new song. Think about the songs you used to sing. Think about the music you used to listen to. The Bible says one day we're going to all join together. Every tongue, tribe, nation on planet Earth is going to join around the throne of God, and we're going to sing a new song. It's going to be a song of praise to God. A new heaven, a new earth, the new Jerusalem. And then it's all summed up by saying, all things new. You see, I believe that deep in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl, there's a desire for something new, a new lease on life, to have a new attitude about things, to have renewed health, to have a renewed marriage, to have a new or renewed relationship with the Lord their God. This morning now, we're going to, for the next few moments, investigate what the scriptures have to say about becoming a new creation, literally a totally new person. And in just a few moments, at the close of this service, I'm going to give you an opportunity so that you too can experience newness in your life. If there's been a longing inside of your heart saying, something's got to give, something's got to change, I cannot continue going on the way that I am, we're going to give you that opportunity for the total change that I believe that God will bring in your life here this morning. Now, each of us, knowing our own faults, our failures, and all of our mess-ups in life, the divine possibility of being made brand new seems very, very appealing. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, he gives to us here a promise and a process that is found about how to become new. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We're going to take that portion of scripture of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and we're going to take a look at it kind of word for just a couple of moments, and we'll do what is called exegetical type of study, which means taking every word, finding the meaning of it, then putting it all together so that we have a clearer understanding of what Paul was talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 when he talks about all new and the old passing away. Notice there that that portion of scripture starts out, therefore. You know, I was trained that whenever you find the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. And so we're going to go back and see what it's there for. What is it referring to? It is tying something together. It's another way of saying for that reason. And if you were to go back just a couple of verses, you'll find there in verses 14 and 15 that the Apostle Paul is speaking there of Christ's death on the cross, and how he loved us so much, he gave himself so that we can become new in Christ. Therefore, because of what Christ has already done, Paul writes, therefore, for this reason, if. Now the word if, we all know what that means, it's conditional. If we tell our children we're going to take you out for ice cream, if you pick up your room. The employer says, I'm going to give you a raise if you will do this new job. It's conditional, meaning that we can either accept it, we can reject it, but it's all conditional. It's depending upon what action we put with it. So therefore, what Christ has done on the cross, for that reason, any, if any, notice that word any there, it's all inclusive, meaning that anyone, everyone can be part of the promise that he's going to be talking about here in this verse. Therefore, if anyone, all inclusive, and the word man there, if any man, that is what is called an indefinite pronoun, which is gender neutral, which simply means this. As we talk about mankind, we're not talking only of men in mankind. We're talking about men, women, boys, and girls. All are included within that term. So therefore, if any man, that's for anyone, gender neutral, men, women, boys, and girls, be, that means to exist, in. Now that word in here is interesting, the way that the Apostle Paul uses it in the Greek. It means to be resting, not striving. The picture is this. It is somebody that's like in a big hammock, and they're just kind of rocking in the wind and enjoying the day, and they're being held in this position, in this place. They're in the hammock, but he's talking about being in Christ, resting in him. It's not in our works, it's not in what we do, but it's in what he has done. Therefore, Paul says, we are resting in Christ, which is the Messiah or the Anointed One. And the Bible says, if we do this, that individual becomes, he is a new, that means a new unused, you know, being used. You can buy a used car, you can buy a house that has been used by someone else, you know, used. But sometimes in life, we feel a little used, don't we? Situations arise in life, and we come and we say to those that we love and trust the most, "Boy, I just feel used." The enemy says, use people. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, if any man there be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is unused. God's going to make them new. And that word creature means a living creation. And he says, old things, the ancient things that belong to Adam and Adam's sin and, you know, that which was passed down from generation to generation, the old things are gone. You know what psychologists tell us? They tell us if we were raised in a home where there's alcoholism, where there's drug abuse, where there's anger, where there's fits of rage, where there's all of the above, that the greater propensity is going to be for the sons and daughters, people in that environment, to replicate that and live that same lifestyle in the future. Paul says, therefore, because of what Christ has done, if, it's up to you, any, all are included, male and female, be, to exist in, resting in Christ. He is a new, unused creature, a living creation, and the old things are passed away. And the Bible says, and behold, which means to look or to see, all things, everything, the whole, becomes new, not existed, not having existed before. That word new is an interesting word there in the Greek here, the way it's used. New means not reformed. It does not mean to be refurbished, but rather it means to be made totally new, something that has never been before. Now, the Bible tells us in the next verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18, then, that our lives ought to be then so transformed that all things become of God. The old passes away, the old habits, the old way of thinking, the old values, all of that passes away, and all things become new and are of God. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, for we are God's masterpiece. How long has it been since you've ever seen yourself as a masterpiece of God's own work? Paul says, and remember Paul, by background, he consented to the murder of Stephen. He was one that made havoc of the church. This guy was blasphemer. He was vile in so many ways. He says, we are God's masterpiece. Friends, this morning, it's not as important of what you once were. It's what you now are because of the grace of Almighty God. And we are God's masterpiece. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you're God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. Notice there, it says that God had planned for us good things that we might participate in the work of his kingdom, and just to make a general difference on planet Earth. And so he says, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Many of you in this room, you've never really fully understood the giftings that God has given to you. You've always played it down. You've allowed others to say, you can't do anything. You're stupid, whatever. Remember, you're God's what? Masterpiece. You are created by God. And while you were still within the womb being shaped, and as his body was being knit together within your mother's womb, God was giving you not only a physical body and a spiritual mind, he was giving to you at that very same moment gifts and talents that you might make a difference in the world. The enemy would love to use you up. And the Bible says that God here, we are his masterpiece. He's created us anew. Remember, anew. Not something that's just been reformed or refurbished, but we're new. And it's in Christ. And the reason for it, so we can do the things he's planned for us long ago. You know, the Apostle Paul's life is a very good example of a life that had been fully transformed. Remember his life, we talked about it as we went through our last series and discovered that Paul himself was a Pharisee. Matter of fact, Paul says, I am a Pharisee of a Pharisee. He was a self-righteous man. He was zealous, but for the wrong cause. He was bent on wiping out Christianity. He was a blasphemer. A blasphemer is one that gives unholy attributes to that which is holy. And so he had nothing good to say about Jesus, nor about his followers. He was a blasphemer, and he was mean, mean-spirited, arresting and trying and imprisoning and even wanting to execute the followers of Christ. But I want you to see the transformation that happened in Paul's life. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it's a wonderful portion of scripture. I love the way it reads in the King James. Listen what it says. I am crucified with Christ. He said, when you think of the cross and you think of Jesus Christ being crucified there, in heart and in spirit, I was crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. I'm not dead. I'm alive, much more alive than I've ever been. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen to the Passion version once. It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one, that is the Christ, lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into mine. Here's what Paul experienced on the Damascus Road. And in Acts chapter 9, it tells us of a transformation of this man. Remember, we said that he was self-righteous, mean-spirited, that he was zealous for all the wrong causes. He was a blasphemer. Listen to what he says. Transformed his life. He said, all this is gone. I was crucified with Christ. And Paul then experienced a brand new beginning, a brand new relationship, a brand new identity, a brand new destination, a brand new position, a brand new power through the Holy Spirit, and a brand new purpose for living. Friends, I believe in just four words, Paul summarized all of this newness up in just four words. He said, I was once dead, now I'm alive. I was once blind, and now I can see. How many can relate today that you are once dead but are now alive, and you were once blind to the things of God, but this morning you're in the house of God saying, I am filled with the presence of Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. My life was once dead, I'm alive, I was blind, and now I see. John Newton, some of you know that name, and you all know it in just a moment. As a young man, he was raised in the mid-1700s. He lived a life of debauchery. He worked on and then finally became the captain of slave ships. He lived a vile life, one that even made his fellow sailors blush. He was nicknamed by his fellow men as being the great blasphemer. He was so vile. One night in the midst of a storm at sea, when it appeared as though his ship was about to sink and he was bailing water out, he cried out to God and said, God, if you're out there, like you heard in the vignette in the story before the message today, he said, God, if you're there, I need you, save me. And God miraculously saved not only the ship, saved him physically, but saved him spiritually. And Newton was totally transformed. John Newton, soon afterwards, he wrote a song that is the number one song in the world, the most sung song of any song in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ. Here it is, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, he was such a wretch that one day in a storm at sea, then when he was washed overboard, you know how his men brought him back on board? They harpooned him. And he had a gaping wound in his side so big for the rest of his life, you could put your fist directly into where they tore the flesh out and the muscle. Such a wretch as me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things from Adam on, the old things from grandpa and grandma, and uncles and aunts and the family line, old things are passed away. Behold, all things, everything. It's not just a paint job. You know why? I was raised in an automotive family, and my father would often go to auctions, large auctions, where hundreds and thousands of cars were being sold. And he would say to me, that car is an Easter egg. I said, Dad, what does that mean? He said, you know, they painted it up, all looks good on the outside, but look under the hood, and there's massive problems. They're just good on the outside. He doesn't make us just on the outside. He works with us on the inside. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We're not an Easter egg. We're the real deal. And all things are of God. You know, not long ago, a poll was taken, and this poll was nationwide. It's a very interesting poll. And they asked this question across the nation. Tell me, what five things is it that you long for most in your life that you've been unable to attain? What is it that you long for the most but unable to obtain? The number one thing, first thing on the list, was happiness. I long to be happy, but I cannot find happiness in this world. And they said, what's number two? They said, you know, the financial stress of life. I just can't seem to get out of the financial hole. No matter what happens, you know, I just seem to get ahead a little bit and then right back down in the depths I go. What's number three? Freedom. I can't seem to get freedom in my life. There's something controlling my life. It goes from one thing to another. I win a momentary victory, but I'm right back under the power of drugs. I'm under the power of something. I want to be free, and I can't be free. I've tried. I've gone to help meetings. I've done this, that, and the other thing, but I can't find freedom. Fourthly, they said, I can't find peace. I cannot be at peace with myself. I cannot feel like I'm at peace with God. I cannot find peace in my life. And fourthly, or fifthly, they said, I cannot find joy. You know what? I have placed at the end of each and every one of these. So the list now, remember, the list is I cannot find happiness. I'm under financial stress. I cannot find freedom, freedom from things that are controlling my life. I cannot find peace, and I cannot find joy. You know what I put alongside of each one of those? There's a scripture verse, right? The first scripture verse, Psalm 144 and verse 15 says, happy is he that has the Lord as his God. Looking for happiness? It's found in God. Financial stress? Philippians 4 and verse 19 says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ's glory, in glory. Freedom. Whomsoever the Son sets free, John chapter 8 and verse 36, is free what? Say it. Indeed. Can I find peace? Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 talks about the peace. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in the Lord God. You say, I cannot find joy. Psalm 16 and verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see, everything mankind is longing for, that's their list. That's not the preacher's list. That's the world's list. That's the world's list, church. They're saying we cannot find these things. You know what? They're looking in the wrong aisle. If you go to the grocery store and you're walking down the aisle and you're looking for, and you're saying, you know what I really need here is I need some hamburger, and you're in the dairy section, you're walking. Well, I can't find any, so you pick up some vacuum cleaner bags. Vacuum cleaner bags will not fill the desire for a nice hamburger. It will not happen. Do I get a witness in the house? They're walking down the wrong aisle. They're looking in the wrong place. I want you to know this morning, God loves you. God created you. The enemy's tried to make a mess of you, but God is going to override. He is about to make you brand new. And I believe in the potential of a moment of change with Jesus Christ that is phenomenal. Paul says, old things pass away. Some of you, you've tried. You've said, I'm not going back there again. I will not do that again. I will not go to that site again. I will not. But you find yourself drawn back and without the power to overcome. Jesus said, the old is going to pass away. I'm going to take it. And the word pass away is it's dead and it's buried. And if you're sick and tired of the enemy controlling your life, wrecking your life, making you miserable at home, causing you destruction everywhere you go, if you're sick and tired of it, I'm telling you today, there's the opportunity to be made brand new through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Son will set you free. And what you cannot do, he is about to do. Worship team, I'm going to ask you to come quickly from all of this room. And I'm going to ask the worship team, they're going to begin to sing a song about being made all new. He makes all things new. And this morning, if there's a desire in your life, you're saying, I cannot continue on the way that I am. I need a breakthrough in my life. I need to be made new. I'm going to invite you to come and be here at the altar. And I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. And I'm going to ask the power of God to do what you could not do. And there's going to be a release that you're going to experience because you will be made brand new in Jesus Christ if that's the desire of your life. So as they begin to sing, you come from all over this room, you say, I want to be made new.